Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better.
Hello, Casey.
Hi, David.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm kind of excited.
Really? Why is that?
We get to talk about easily the weirdest movie we've seen so far, I think. Justice League.
Surprise! That's our movie today. We're talking about Justice League, and it's kind of a, sort of kind of a special episode, because we're not just talking about Justice League, we're talking about Justice League and the Snyder Cut version of Justice League.
This is easily the craziest movie I think we've talked about. Not because of what's going on necessarily in the movie, although we'll talk about that, but for as much as has been going on behind the scenes throughout this whole drama between the original theatrical cut of the Justice League and the Snyder Cut, which released just a few days ago on HBO. Mm-hmm. And it's a really weird beast, this whole Justice League thing. And everything that kind of led up to the Snyder Cut and everything has just been really insane. I can't remember ever knowing about this kind of drama going on behind the scenes and the vast, vast, vast differences that have resulted between the theatrical cut of the Justice League and the Snyder Cut, which is just so much better.
Yeah. The way that this episode's going to be is, instead of us saying what our fixes would be, basically we're going to talk about the theatrical cut of Justice League that came out in 2017, and then the Snyder Cut that basically more or less fixed the mistakes or the parts you just don't understand in Justice League.
Largely, yes. Broad strokes, Justice League, the theatrical cut, which came out in 2017, is a horrible, awful, no good, very bad mess. That's the kindest thing I could say about it. It's awful. It's terrible.
The fact that that was basically meant to be DC's version of the Avengers and
is sad and pathetic.
And it was so sad. Like, it was so much hype. I remember when the movie came out, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh my gosh. Considering Avengers, the original, came out in 2012.
Oh, I know.
And it just wasn't good at all. And it was sad because these are like some great characters and you're bringing them all together. It didn't give it any justice.
Hey, nice. Exactly. And the Snyder Cut, though, it fixes so much of what the Justice League in 2017 did wrong. Mm-hmm. That's not to say it's perfect. That's not even to say it's a great film. But it's good. It's solid.
David gave it a solid B-.
B-.
For the Snyder Cut.
Yes, for the Snyder Cut. The Justice League original version gets an F-, if there is such a thing as an F-. And I think so much of the hype that the Snyder Cut is getting is just, well, just in how much better it is. Because B- is not exactly a great grade. It's just so much better than an F.
A C is a passing grade, but it's a little bit more than a C.
It is, because I do think it's more than just a C, as it were, the Snyder Cut. It's good. It's just not amazing. It makes some really awful decisions that I just don't think belong in the movie, mm-hmm. too. So it's not perfect, but considering what we had before versus this, it's much, much, much better.
And, like, the hype and the attraction that HBO has gotten from Snyder Cut releasing on their service, mm-hmm. is, like, so huge.
It's really huge. We may as well talk about how exactly all this happened.
Yeah.
So, Batman vs. Superman came out a few years ago, and it was around that time that it came out in theaters that Zack Snyder was already filming the Justice League. And, of course, Batman vs. Superman is a terrible movie. It's a dumpster fire. It's awful. If you decide to watch this movie, set your expectations low. Maybe you might get enjoyment out of how awful it is.
I have still yet to see it, so...
We'll get to it.
I believe you.
Yeah, you'll get to it. You'll get to it. And so the movie came out and was harshly criticized for its tone, for how just dark it was, and how just, like, brooding all these characters were, and just how blah it was, apparently, to people. And I would generally agree that's pretty true. And around the time that they were kind of finishing up production on the Justice League movie, Zack Snyder and his family endured a personal family tragedy, and he had to step away from post-production of the Justice League to go be with his family and to be present for that. And the Warner Brothers executives, whoever they were, decided that, okay, we need to make this Justice League like Avengers. And I think they took that literally, because they hired Joss Whedon, the director of the first Avengers movie, to do...
I didn't know that. I didn't know he directed Avengers.
Yeah, to like... Oh. To make...
Isn't that like a betrayal?
I mean, he's not on under contract.
I guess, at Marvel. But I mean, those are two different universes and you're bringing the same person. Okay.
Yeah, it's really weird. But like, they brought him in to just make it more lighthearted and whatever. And when you actually watch the theatrical cut of Justice League, you can pick out which scenes were shot over again for the Joss Whedon theatrical cut. They're all much brighter. They add jokes, really bad jokes to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bad. They don't fit, they're awful, and it just doesn't work. And so now, many years later, because of the pandemic, no movies or TV shows were really being made.
Yeah.
And many production companies were just kind of in a panic and were just like, oh no, we have no content to release. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Of course, this released the Snyder Cut as a hashtag for years now. And Warner Brothers was just like, we have this 4-hour behemoth. Zach, finish off your version of it, and we'll just release it on HBO.
Yeah.
He did, and I honestly thought it would just still be pretty crappy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it just exceeded all of my expectations, which I grant were low.
When we watched this movie, David was just like, Casey, what if I like it?
I know, like, and I couldn't believe it, because I was just like, oh man, I'm kind of am liking this. I'm having a good time. It was pretty good, mostly.
Considering it was 4 hours long, the Snyder Cut.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was telling David, for a movie like this, like if it was Avengers or this the DC Universe, and it looked interesting, I would totally sit in a movie theater for 4 hours.
I could not sit in a movie theater for 4 hours.
But I understand. And obviously, like at home, it's so much easier. You can pause it, whatever. But they take the time in the Snyder Cut to explain so many things. And when you like look back on the theatrical cut and you're like, well, that makes so much sense.
Yes.
Because in theatrical, that was so confusing. How do they even know that?
I know. And it happens all over the place. It is really wild how different they are and how different they feel, really. Considering that, like, a lot of it is the same footage. It's just edited differently. So it really shows the power of what good editing can do for a movie.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about, like, some of the decisions made in the Snyder Cut. But for now, we may as well kind of jump into talking about the theatrical cut of Justice League and the travesty that is that version.
All right. So we open up with Batman on a rooftop in Gotham City arresting some robber guy. And then this parademon.
He just happens to be there.
Yeah. This parademon, this creature thing, shows up. He jumps on him and then destroys him. And it's really funny because there's like an imprint on the wall of like 3 boxes. And I was like, what?
So apparently...
Which I didn't notice until I rewatched it again after watching Snyder Cut.
I know. I had no idea what I was looking at the first time I watched this movie.
Yeah.
And then I saw it again and somebody actually had to point it out to me. The creature explodes and leaves the image of 3 boxes just on the wall where he explodes. And like, why in God's name would the explosion produce?
Do they all leave 3 boxes when they die?
I don't know why they would. That's not how explosions do.
Well, anyway.
Anyway. We cut from there, and then we... Oh, man, it's Wonder Woman. She's stopping some kind of...
Heist?
In the Snyder Cut, we find out it's a heist.
Oh.
Or something like that. I think. No, it's still a terrorist
attack.
Well,
like, yeah, it's a terrorist attack. They're gonna blow wherever they are, building up.
They're gonna blow up a museum.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman comes in, she stops the bad guys in just the quickest action scene in the theatrical cut. It just kind of happens.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Bolton is there.
Yes.
And Diana just kind of takes out these guys, and it's just an action scene for the sake of an action scene. And it really contradicts...
It's just trying to introduce her.
I guess. But from this, all we understand is just like, oh, she does action-y things.
And she's here.
Mm-hmm. And what's more is that this kind of contradicts something that is said later on, because Batman's like, you've been absent from the world all this time, since World War I. But false. She's been stopping terrorist attacks, I guess.
Yeah.
Or at least at museums.
She works at the Louvre.
Yeah. So she's, you know, around. She's not a total hermit. And then from there...
So you introduce Wonder Woman, and now we're going back to Themyscira, where her mom and her...
Hippolyta. Queen Hippolyta's there.
The Amazons.
With a bunch of Amazons.
They're all watching this box, and as soon as she shows up, it wakes up.
Conveniently.
Yeah. And then they get ready, and then you see this guy show up, and it's Steppenwolf.
It's just a gray CGI alien creature.
Yeah.
And he looks awful.
And he says something about his mother. And he's trying to take this box. And then Queen Hippolyta eventually gets this box. And they're like, get out of here. They're in like this dome thing.
And he calls like an army of the other
parademons. Yeah.
The alien that Batman blew up.
Yeah. So she runs out trying to run the box away. Honestly, my thought in this entire thing is like, I understand they're trying to run away from there. But like, where are they running? Running to.
I don't know. It's just the...
Yeah.
This is stupid.
So, she tries to run the box away, doesn't succeed.
We don't know who these characters are, barely. We don't care who they are. It's just...
Steppenwolf gets the box and leaves. Queen Hippolyta is like, we need to light the ancient warning fire. And then one of the other Amazons is just like, oh...
Man will not recognize what it means. It
hasn't burned for 5,000 years. And he's like, they won't, but she will. They take an arrow and she...
They shoot it,
which I thought was the Parthenon, but it's not. It's
someplace in Greece.
Yeah, it's just a Parthenon-looking thing for...
Parthenon-looking thing, basically, yeah.
For the Amazons.
I thought it was the Parthenon.
Yeah. And it shows it on the news, and then you see Diana. She's working at the Louvre, and she looks at the TV, and then she's like, invasion. And then we cut to Batman.
No. Aquaman, right?
Oh, yeah. So we do cut to Batman looking in, like, icy place.
It's either Iceland or Greenland or just some very crappy fisherman village.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes some bad jokes trying to get Aquaman to be on his side. And then...
Well, he's trying to find Aquaman, and Aquaman's literally right in front of his face.
And I think he can tell that it's Aquaman.
Yeah. And then...
He sees a mural with some boxes on it.
And he's like, I'll give you this much money so if you can tell me...
About the boxes.
Yeah, and makes a joke. And then he starts walking off with Aquaman, trying to get him to join his team.
Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm. And which is his actual first introduction before Aquaman comes out. Yeah, he's trying to get him on his team. And he's just like, nah, I don't really want to join. And he was just like, Superman died fighting by my side. And he was just like, my point exactly.
Oh, snap. You see what we're doing now? We have inter-party conflict. Isn't this deep and satisfying as like conflict for characters?
And then took off. So that was our introduction to Aquaman.
Who cares? From there, we jump to some scene on a plane with Batman and Alfred so that Alfred can make a joke. And then we finally jump back to the Batcave where Diana shows up. And then Bruce and Diana go for a walk, I guess. And this is where she just exposits at length. What's going on.
Who Steppenwolf is, what these three boxes are.
At the audience, basically.
Yeah.
And it takes forever.
Well, I mean, it does, but it also feel like it didn't give enough scene. Like, we'll get to it, but in the Snyder Cut, they definitely go a little bit more in length to it. She's explaining it, saying what these three boxes are. They're basically, they are power. She explains that the tribes of men, the Atlanteans, the Amazons, the gods, all fought together against Steppenwolf when he was trying to bring these three boxes, the three mother boxes, together to form the unity. And it's...
Whatever that does.
Yeah, it's power. Basically, it turns whatever planet that they bring it to into Steppenwolf's homeworld.
It turns it into a version of their planet called Apocalypse. Either way, the point is that it's these three devices that when you unite them, bad things happen. That's what we need to know.
Yeah. Basically, the tribes and the Atlanteans and the Amazons all beat them up and sent them back. They separated the boxes and then they split them up between the tribes of men, the Atlanteans, and the Amazons. And I really loved how, like, the Atlanteans obviously put it in, like, a secure location under sea. The Amazons are obviously...
a big vault.
Yeah. The Amazons are obviously on their island and hide it there. And then... the humans, tribesmen, put it in a hole.
That was really funny, actually. I can't believe... Like, of course, the humans are just like, just bury it.
Yeah. Fine. Not even deep, too.
No, it's like... It's like they put it in, like, a hole. Just some hole.
A grave.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, basically, that was more or less, I guess, the last time, at least, that they knew about it. Or, like, anything happened with those things.
This movie's so boring.
But she finishes her explanation to Bruce Wayne, and then, oh, he tells her to go looking for Cyborg, and then he's going to go after Flash.
Then we meet the Flash, and a silly scene where...
He really didn't have that much screen time to himself, like, in the theatrical cut at all.
I'll skip ahead. Cyborg and Flash are kind of pointless in this cut of the film.
Like, they really don't explain much, and, I mean, they're a little bit of a helping hand, but really didn't, like...
If Flash and Cyborg were just...
quote-unquote, save the day.
If Flash and Cyborg were not part of the theatrical version of the Justice League, I think exactly the same thing would have happened.
Yeah.
They did nothing that somebody else couldn't have accomplished by some other means, somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really interesting with those characters. They're really wasted here.
Yeah.
But yet we're spending screen time on them. This movie's technically about an hour and 50 minutes or so. So we're wasting precious screen time on characters that really don't matter. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah. So Flash is like, yeah, I'll join the team. I need friends.
Cyborg's like, no, I'm broody and moody and depressed because I kind of look... kind of weird.
Come to find out he was following Bruce Wayne and Diana as they were walking, talking about the story.
Yeah.
And but she knew about it. She could sense him or hear him or whatever.
Something.
Yeah. So basically they have three people.
And then some people get kidnapped, including Cyborg's dad. And so then he joins them and they go to attack, like, where the people are being held to go rescue them, I guess.
Yeah. And then
a fight ensues that is really hard to follow. Oh, before this, the Atlanteans, just before all this, Steppenwolf goes to Atlantis and he retrieves the other mother box that they had and beats up Mira and Aquaman a bit. And then that's when he bails. And now he has two mother boxes.
Yeah, he just needs the Tribe of Men, which I don't remember if we've seen it already at this point. We know who has it, but...
not in the theatrical cut.
We don't know who has it yet?
No... no.
Well, we know that Cyborg's dad had it at some point.
Yes.
Because that's how he created Cyborg.
Yes.
Yeah. It was very short how he explained it, but basically Cyborg was in an accident and he quite literally only had like half his body and half his head. The dad used the mother box
to
create him, to help, to save him.
Yeah.
And he turned out as Cyborg.
Right. And they have a fight and it's really hard to follow. It's choppy. It's saturated with brightness in ways that it makes the shots look ugly. The action itself is it's just bad because it's hard to follow and it doesn't make sense. It's just a dumb action scene because we need a dumb action scene in this dumb action
movie. Then you introduce Aquaman. He comes in too.
He finally joins the squad because
he took the mother box
and he's like, I'm Jason Momoa and
I'm cool. Yeah,
and he is cool. I like Jason Momoa.
Mm-hmm.
Just I don't like Aquaman that much because who cares. So anyway, the squad is reunited,
the squad is united.
The squad is united, at least the five of them are, and they're like, oh man, we don't know where the mother box is, and then Cyborg shows up, and he has the mother box.
Yeah.
And then they have a discussion about how, like, what the mother box is, and they're like...
they come to a really quick decision that this is going to bring Superman...
let's bring back Superman.
Yeah, like, it's gonna bring him back to life, and I was like...
this is an excellent idea.
What? Also, like, when I first watched Justice League, again, I hadn't watched Batman vs. Superman, so when the beginning started, I was like, oh no, Superman's dead?
Oh my god.
What? I just thought that was really funny. Anyways, so, yeah, they're like, somehow they come to the conclusion that this is going to bring Superman back to life, but doesn't do, like, that much explaining. It's just like, how do you even know that?
No, they spout some technobabble to trick us into thinking that all this makes sense.
Yeah.
Then we kind of jump immediately to the scene, and we're at Superman's ship. They dig up his corpse. And
They already had his corpse.
They brought it there. They do some shenanigans with Flash running and Flash touching it.
Mm-hmm. And then he comes back to life.
And I guess he looks confused.
He's confused. He doesn't really have his memories yet.
He attacks the League.
Yeah. Oh, well, Cyborg's, he's a machine.
He attacks because he's,
He has no control over the attack. Like his, I forgot exactly what he said, but.
It doesn't matter how it happens. The point is that Superman attacks.
Yeah. So they're trying to fight Superman, which I find kind of funny. Like, They're all so strong in their own ways, but like Superman just overpowers them in all different ways. Like Flash is super fast, but then you see the Superman's just as fast as him.
So almost it's just as like, fast, because he can't quite catch the Flash.
You're right. But he's still...
But he can keep up. Yeah. And that's the really scary part, is that all this time where like Flash has been going super fast, everything just kind of stops moving.
It's very, very, very slow.
It's very, very slow. But then when they're fighting Superman, Flash kind of launches and starts going at his super speed. Everything has slowed down in the camera and like the action. But then you see Superman's eyes and head kind of tilt towards the Flash, like he's looking like, dead at him.
He's like, ooh.
And like, he looks so freaked out. And I'm equally like, oh man. And I actually,
I did
like that. Yeah. That was cool. And I liked how Ezra Miller sold his,
oh my God,
oh my God, what do I do? And Superman starts trying to take a swing at him, and Flash is just fast enough that he can dodge.
Yeah.
But not by that much. So yeah, Superman just kind of decimates the league a bit. And like, even Wonder Woman tries to do her godness, and Superman is just like, nope.
Psych! She's about to do her gauntlet thing. He came to her and he's like, mm-mm.
I know this is probably too much detail, but just like, I love that part where Superman grabs her arms, headbutts her, and Wonder Woman's like, oh yeah, and headbutts him, and he's like, oh really? And then he floats up, leans back a little more, and then headbutts her like once more, and she just gets driven into the ground, and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's about right. That is what Superman would do.
And then Batman comes into view, and he's like, you won't let me live, you won't let me die.
And it's bad. Here's what's really sad. These are all scenes that were reshot for the Joss Whedon theatrical cut with Superman. And at the time, when they filmed it, Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman, was filming the Mission Impossible movie. And so he had a big beard and mustache. And they had to digitally edit that out.
Oh.
And that's why his lower half of his face looks like Uncanny Valley, almost unreal and disturbing Superman. That's why he looks so ugly and weird in those scenes. And then Lois Lane comes out and she shows up.
And just like, he's like, ooh. And then he takes her to Kansas.
Yeah.
We have a scene of him basically getting his memories back.
More or less. And he reunites with his mom and all that. And meanwhile, the League.
Or like, that was a bust. Like, we brought him back to life, but like, he don't remember us.
And
he went away.
But then they still decide, like, we're going to attack anyway. And they find...
They somehow find it. The place where... Steppenwolf's
base.
Oh, before this, though, again, they use that mother box to bring Superman back to life. But it, like, went off to the side when they brought out... So they were too focused on Superman, bringing him back to life, fighting him and everything, that the mother box was just off on the side. And Steppenwolf showed up, took it, and he was gone. Like,
our heroes are morons.
Yeah. And they're like, where's Mother Box? I don't even remember if that was in the theatrical cut or in Snyder, but they're like, where's the Mother Box?
The Snyder cut explained this so much more.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
So he has all three. They somehow already know where his base is, somewhere in Russia.
Somehow.
Yeah. And they go, and it's like this abandoned...
Nuclear facility?
Yeah. Ex-nuclear base.
There's a big smokestack.
Nobody's supposed to live there. But they do focus on, like, some Russian family for some reason.
We've spent about 10 minutes on them by now. We're wasting time with Flash and Cyborg. We're wasting time with his family. And so, like, there's not much time left to focus on, like, all the other things that matter. Like, say, plot or character or anything that actually matters.
Yeah.
Relationships, conflicts.
So, they get inside. They're fighting Steppenwolf. Cyborg is trying to...
Do something.
Yeah.
It's gonna, basically, it's gonna stop, it's gonna stop
the mother boxes from uniting.
Or whatever.
To form the unity.
And things are going poorly.
Superman does show up for a second, and he's like helping, and then he's just like, hold up, there's people here still. And he leaves.
With Flash,
yeah.
Because we need to give Flash something to do.
But then, like, you're taking the strongest person away from the strongest, from the villain, and leaving Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Batman to deal with that.
I'm just so done by this movie. Like, God.
Well, basically, they win.
Yeah, they win.
They separate the unity. Steppenwolf goes back.
Steppenwolf looks like he gets eaten by the parademons. So they've been saying a whole bunch throughout this movie that the parademons, they are attracted to fear.
Oh, yeah.
And then, because Superman shows up, and then Aquaman is fighting them, and so is Wonder Woman, they're all fighting him, Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf is just like... you cannot defeat me, all this like stupid bad guy kind of thing. And apparently the parademons sense fear, and then they start trying to eat him. And then those portals that he's been using to just kind of like teleport Travel. Around and get the mother boxes, one of them just shows up randomly and takes him as he's being consumed by
and he went the parademons. Wherever, who knows?
Wherever those that one was taking him.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't care. He's dead.
So they win.
There's a quick little epilogue with just characters.
With Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Deathstroke.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Joe Montagnolo. Yeah, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Again, I hadn't watched Batman vs. Superman, so I didn't know it was Lex Luthor until we watched Snyder Cut.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Jesse Eisenberg is something that you wouldn't actually expect to be Lex Luthor.
But I know Joe, though. I didn't know his character, but I do know him.
Yeah. So then the movie's just kind of over.
And that's it.
I'm so, like, so just talking about this movie is just draining.
When David had to rewatch the theatrical cut after Snyder Cut, he was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this right now.
I didn't, because I had just watched the show that I really liked. Now I had to watch, like, this other really crappy movie,
mm-hmm.
and it was jarring and uncomfortable and awful. So, I mean, really, the problem with the whole Justice League movie really is just...
Everything happens so quick. They don't spend too much time on people or explaining things. And you're like, how do they even know that?
It feels like Rise of Skywalker almost.
Yeah.
Like, the pacing is just like,
David,
coming at you.
Stop. I was thinking about that.
It does. Like, it feels like this just movie is just coming at your face all the time, and it never stops, and it is overwhelming, it's uncomfortable, and it's puzzling, it's confusing, and so you're left just watching these characters who you don't actually know, because in this movie we're introduced to Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman. We know who Wonder Woman is, because her movie came out before this came out.
Yeah.
But other than that, Batman, I guess we kind of know who he is because of Batman vs. Superman, but...
Well, you obviously have to sort of kind of introduce all the characters again for people who haven't watched their solo films.
And there's just no time for it in this movie. This movie is only like an hour and 50 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and we're introducing so many characters.
And you're just not spending much time on them. You're just kind of like, here they are, let's go, like Suicide Squad.
Oh my god, right? I know, right? And it just feels like, why should I care? Who cares?
It's just so much happens just so fast. I know I keep saying that, but like, it's just... And they go from here, they already know the answer. They go from there, they already know the answer. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, let's bring him back to life, so gonna work.
I know. So half the movie, Superman, who we actually know, is not there. Wonder Woman, we know. And what's more is there's no emotion to this movie. It's just so vapid and empty.
And they just don't feel like a team.
No, they don't.
They're just put together, like, all these different personalities and people, and they're just there, and they have to work together to do this, but they don't seem like a real team. Like, obviously, there's gonna be some headbutting.
But they
You have, like,
do
all alphas,
that, really.
In a sense.
But they clash because they want to do it differently than each other. Not because they have different values. It works in Avengers because Iron Man and Captain America are such different people. Iron Man is a bit of a narcissist. Captain America's entire identity is built around being unselfish
mm-hmm.
and fighting for other people. That's why when there was conflict between them, that's why it worked so well. Because we know who these characters are. We know what their motivations, drives, and beliefs are, and convictions are, and so we get to see that play out because of who they are. In Justice League, they just butt heads because screw you.
Yeah, they just weren't a team. They weren't a league, as it were.
Yeah, they weren't. So anyway, so the Justice League movie, the theatrical cut that came out in 2017, was a complete and utter disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, very recently, they released the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, obviously we have to watch this.
Yeah.
And it's like 4 hours. When I Googled it and it said 4 hours, I was like, what? That has to be a joke. I literally thought it was going to be like a documentary thing. I did not think it was going to be a literal 4 hour film.
It's 4 hours, and that is honestly one of the best decisions Zack Snyder made.
Yeah.
He was not paid to make the Snyder Cut, but he
No, he wanted to do it.
He wanted to do it, but he wanted complete creative control.
Yes.
And they gave it to him. And the length is one of the best decisions about this, and...
It gives the time to explain how they knew this, where they got to hear. We got to see more of Flash and Cyborg.
Cyborg is the emotional core
mm-hmm.
of the Snyder Cut.
And Flash is quite literally the savior of
Absolutely.
Everyone.
And it is so good the way that they actually do manage to kind of give everybody enough time in these 4 hours to be characters and to shine and to do the things that they would do, and we get insight into like what they're like as people and stuff like that. And what's great about it is just that they do end up acting like characters that we would sympathize with, that we care about, that we like, that are interesting to look at and to admire. One of the best decisions they made, like I said, is the length. And I would also say the line between movie and TV show has been further blurred by the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm.
Because
They broke it up into parts.
It is broken up into parts.
Six parts.
Six parts.
Like, and an epilogue.
Yes, as in the screen will fade to black, and it'll say part one, titled blah, blah, blah.
But they literally end, like, on a good part that could be an episode, you know?
Exactly. But so, yeah, it's divided up into six unevenly cut parts. However, it's really good for watching, because you can watch one or two parts, go take a break, pick up at part three, and then keep going. That's actually how I ended up watching it. Well, that's the way we watched. Like, we watched, like, two or three parts.
Yeah. We basically watched about half the film, almost. No, well, yeah. We basically watched about half the film and then came back and watched the other half.
More or less, we watched parts 4 and 5 separately. We picked up at part 6 together.
Yeah.
But we were able to do that because of how this movie was cut up.
Right.
That was one of the best ideas. So it really works. So the structure of the film is great already, just on that. The pacing, anyway. At least as far as, like, the time and cutting up and all that kind of stuff.
So let's go ahead and jump into the Snyder Cut. So basically, we're just going to explain, like, how they explained it more, but also how it fixed the scenes in Justice League.
Yes.
So at the very beginning, part one, you have Superman screaming, which I haven't seen, but Batman versus Superman.
He's being killed at that moment.
Yeah. And his scream is so loud that it goes across the entire Earth. And then it seems, though, at that very moment is when the mother box, at least on Themyscira, awoke.
It's implied that this is what woke up all three of them, basically.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
In part one, after this, we get introduced to Aquaman. And
it's still Bruce Wayne again, just looking for him in this village.
Yes.
But the scene is so much better because of just, like, there's no jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a certain amount of, oh, why can't our superheroes be lighthearted? But they don't need to be. They're still charming. At least Bruce Wayne is still charming. Ben Affleck does a pretty good job. He's still, like, a charming person, and he ends up having a conversation with Aquaman, Jason Momoa. It's still basically the same outcome. He just leaves, but it's much better constructed, and we still don't know what the mother boxes are at this point.
It was a little awkward, because when he leaves, like, he leaves his jacket, and then...
Oh, yeah!
And then the village starts, like, singing a song, and then she goes and picks up...
That was the funniest scene.
She goes and picks up his jacket and is, like, smelling it.
And I was like, what is she doing?
Yeah, and I was like,
She thirsty.
It wasn't... She was. I see why. But it wasn't necessary, but it was just... That was there.
They had nice voices. Uh-huh. It made me laugh. I almost want to keep it because it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, it has no purpose in the film.
Yeah.
And if I actually were trying to be serious about it, I would just cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. And it made me laugh. That was nonsense.
Yeah. Then we cut to Lois going to Superman's monument. And there was this shot, which I like too, but David really pointed out, where it shows, like, a wedding ring on her finger where she's at the monument. And it was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and it's implied in the scene that she does this a lot. Like, she's giving coffee to a cop to let her through.
To go every single day.
To go every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is expressed in the Snyder Cut in just a couple shots.
Like, how she's dealing with this.
Yeah.
Like,
it's so smart. And we're only able to do this in this movie because of just how much time we have to just kind of linger on everything. You have enough time to kind of see Lois wake up and be kind of, well, sad and depressed, and then watch her go through her day and get this coffee and just kind of fake a smile for this cop just so she can go and mourn Superman some more, her fiancé, or her would-be fiancé, at this memorial, this Superman memorial.
Yeah. So from there, we see Wonder Woman, and it goes into more detail again with that, which we find out was like a heist, but still like a terrorist attack.
Yeah. It's a lot of the same thing, but the brightness of the shot is much more down in the Snyder Cut, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just lower. All the shots so far have been very kind of moody and not dark necessarily. The tone is, I think, more appropriate. and there's an action scene, and it's, I think, better. The music helps. It's not like as bright and celebratory as the Joss Whedon version.
She also does her demigod move with the gauntlets, which seemed unnecessary.
It was very unnecessary.
But, you know, showing off her power.
Well, here's what's really sad and ironic about that, and kind of funny. And this is why, like, this movie is not perfect. She works in a museum to preserve and protect art, and then she blew up a museum.
Or at least that floor, which, when I was watching, which is so unimportant, but I was like, she literally just blew up half that floor. Wouldn't that not collapse a building?
Maybe, that's the problem. But then, at least, all that tension seems to be relieved by the fact that, hey, there's a little girl there who's just like, oh, I want to be like you someday. And woman was like, oh, you can be whatever you want. And I'm like, yes, girl. Yes. Yes. I'm just like, yes, this is exactly what Wonder Woman would do if a little girl was just like, hey, I want to be like you. She'd be like, yes, you can do it. It was great. So good.
Then we jump to the Mascara. And same type of shot where the mother box...
Much longer, though.
Yes. And they're in there. The mother box wakes up. We see Steppenwolf. And he looks so much better.
He looks cooler.
So good.
He looks awesome. He looks scary. Yeah.
And his facial expressions. I mean, we don't get to see too much in that part, but like throughout the entire film, he looks like a literal character.
He looks like
He might be an alien, but he looks like a person in
exactly.
this one.
In this whole thing, he has character. He has motivations. Yeah. They're not super deep, but they're something. This isn't exactly Thanos.
Yeah.
Let alone Killmonger. But this is still pretty good stuff.
Yeah. So,
it's an extended fight scene that was in the theatrical version, but I think it's better because, like, we actually linger on, like, what the Amazons are thinking and what they're talking about and what they're doing, and because of just how desperate we get to see them be, we, like, feel for these people who are just fighting so hard just to, like, get this box away from this guy, from this big monster, and they're failing because they just can't, he's just so strong, and it works.
It works, and then when, same type of scene where she, like, escapes, but she kind of lingers for a second on the moment of closing off the building, which, completely different scene, like, she escapes the building, and the building quite literally falls off the cliff, like, that's, like, the steps that building was supposed to
take. Security mechanism.
Yeah. If the mother box or whatever was going to be taken, they were literally going to sacrifice the entire building, whoever's in it, to
keep it from whoever was trying to take it.
Right. Which, it was a good scene. It was really sad because obviously all the Amazons that were in there died, but unsuccessful because Steppenwolf got out.
It was great though.
Yeah, it was a good scene. I did find it kind of funny where they were all throwing the arrows at him, but it didn't really do anything.
That was really pointless on their part.
Yeah.
They need a gun or something.
After that, same type of thing where they need to light the ancient warning fire. They did spend a little bit too much time on this moment. It was like a ceremony, getting the arrow.
We have 4 hours. We have time.
Yeah. They throw the arrow. Same thing. Diana.
Wonder Woman retrieves it. Diana retrieves it.
Well, yeah. She sees it. She goes and gets it.
The difference, though, is that she understands that it means something bad has happened.
She knows it means invasion.
But that's all she knows in this version. In this version, it takes her down to some other ruin.
Right.
And it...
Below the Amazon shrine.
And while she's investigating, she finds a mural, and it seems to give her the story that we got before. And
it's interesting, because it's just like, I thought she just already knew the story.
And no, in this version, she has to, like, narrate the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit long, but I guess we have time. And so she finds this mural, which tells her the story, and she understands everything that's going on, and it culminates in her finding this one part of the mural that depicts our really big bad guy, this guy called Darkseid, and it actually felt frightening. I felt goosebumps when I saw that mural. I was like, wow, he's kind of terrifying. And this is a character that I'm kind of already aware of. I've seen different versions of him before, at least in other DC stuff, like the comic books and cartoons. But the mural really worked for me. I was like, my God, this guy looks terrifying. It was great.
And then we cut to Steppenwolf. He's talking to...
Desaad, who is just one of...
You said, the hand of Darkseid.
The hand of the king to Darkseid, as it were.
Yeah.
He's just kind of his lieutenant.
Yeah. And he's basically telling him there's no this, there's no Kryptonians. And
hint,
then
hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. And basically kind of confirming in a sense that they came now because Superman is dead.
Which kind of begs the question, why didn't they invade before Superman ever showed up?
Because there's been thousands of years. But it's okay, it's fine.
It's because we need a movie. It's because we need a Justice League Snyder Cut movie.
And then she retells the story again to Batman about Steppenwolf, about Darkseid this time. Steppenwolf and Darkseid.
They make the same decision. You go find Cyborg, I'll go find Flash.
Also, we got to see more of, like, a Green Lanterns and Zeus in that. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, and Flash has an excellent scene where he's applying for a job. Mm-hmm. There's a car wreck. He saves this girl.
And a hot dog.
There's hot dogs floating in the air. He grabs one, pockets it, and then he feeds it to some dogs to be like, oh, what was all that? Oh, no. And it's pretty funny. It was cool. And we've been kind of getting bits of Cyborg throughout the movie by this point.
They're showing Cyborg what he's thinking, what he's trying to figure out, what all his powers, basically. And I really love the scene where, like, he's looking at everyone's bank accounts.
That was great.
Yeah, and he sees, like, this one woman who is being struggling. Evicted. She barely has any money in her bank account. And he's just, like, looking at her life. Like, he can see a video of her, like, what she's doing. And then he just adds, like, $100,000.
To her account.
Yeah, and he goes and looks at her as she sees that money.
That part was really trippy up until, like, we start kind of seeing these concrete things. And it was great because, like, we get to feel for a lot for Cyborg in this movie. Like I said before, he's the emotional core. Because we get to see him navigate the fact that he was a star athlete. He gets in this accident where his mother died. But then he is still depressed by the fact that he has been totally transformed into kind of a weird cyborg creature. Mm-hmm. And he's still coming to terms with that.
Yeah. Then we jump to Mira in Atlantis.
And in this version, she has a British accent.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really funny.
And then she's using her powers, which she does use in the theatrical, but, like, not that much. I did really like the scene just because, like...
extended fight scene, yeah.
Yeah. And she's fighting Steppenwolf, and then she, like, takes the water away, and then they're there, and then she starts taking the water and the blood from him. And in my mind, I was like, oh, my God, bloodbending.
That was
like, from Avatar. And
that was
they
clever.
Lost.
That was a cool
It was
fight.
Good. They lost, obviously.
Yeah, they take the Mother Box again. From here, we have kind of the similar kind of thing. We have, again, our action scene where a bunch of people were kidnapped. Mm-hmm. But this time, the action is so much better because the scenes aren't as choppy. Because, again, we have time.
Yeah.
And as a result, the action is just a lot easier to follow. We get to linger and follow our heroes to do what they do. At one point, there's a little gap in this bridge. Flash is just like, oh, he jumps over it with his speed and his jumping. Wonder Woman just kind of jumps over because she's superhuman and can do that. Batman uses his grappling hook real quick. Cyborg uses his thrusters. Why is that good? It's hard to say, other than the fact that it gives us time to linger and have fun with these characters and to see what they do when confronted with challenges. It informs us about what their abilities and tricks are.
Yeah.
Batman uses his mind and his gadgets. Flash is using his speed. Wonder Woman is using her just extraordinary powers. Cyborg is using the technology that has been grafted into his being.
And then Aquaman showing up.
Aquaman shows up.
Using his watery powers.
Watery powers. And it's a lot better because we get to see him actually struggle because he sees him kind of like...
He's holding the water that's about to
come in. He's trying so hard.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
To give them time to escape.
Yeah.
After that scene, we see Steppenwolf find out that something called the anti-life equation is on Earth, which is important to Darkseid, basically.
It's going to give his master...
exactly what he wants.
Something that will let him do something.
Yeah.
Something to do real bad. By now, Steppenwolf has been given slightly more character because we kind of make it clear that Steppenwolf is quote-unquote dishonored or just, like, not allowed to come back to his home planet of Apocalypse. So he's trying so hard to get these mother boxes and to conquer Earth because he wants to go back home. He wants to be in the good graces of his boss and all that. That's not a ton of motivation, but it's something. I'll take it. Versus what we got before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they start talking about more at length to bring Superman back to life.
Yes. And it's a very practical decision here. The decision is based on the fact that, they showed up because they detected that there are no Kryptonians here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that they're afraid of Kryptonians.
Right.
And so, if we bring Superman back, we have a fighting chance now.
Yeah.
Because this version makes it very clear that, listen, Wonder Woman is great, and she's super strong, but she can't beat Steppenwolf by herself. Sorry.
No. And they took the time to take Superman out of his coffin in a nice way and everything.
There's
honorably.
A conversation.
Yeah. And like.
Then just rip him out of the dirt.
Yeah. And we have that same scene where they're at the Kryptonian ship. And they put him in the water, and they're the same type of deal.
They make reference to the fact that Flash, if he goes fast enough, can turn back time.
Yeah, and Cyborg said he had to touch the box at the exact moment it touches the fluid. And when he does it in this one, it had touched the fluid and he hadn't made it there, but then it went back up, which I didn't realize until later.
Me neither, yeah.
Yeah, that it was like a premonition of what's going to happen later about the time, about him reversing time.
They're setting it up.
Yeah. And then also, right before they actually do it, Cyborg hears from the ship. I thought it was from the mother box, but you told me it was a ship.
It's the ship.
It was showing him what could possibly happen if you bring Superman back to life.
Yeah.
And Cyborg was just like... freaked out. It was not a good scene.
Yeah.
If that actually happens. And he was just like, let's go. Let's do it anyway. He doesn't tell him.
Yeah.
And Superman comes back. And same type of fight scene, more or less.
More or less.
And then...
less jokes. Fewer jokes still.
Yeah. And then Lois Lane shows up. And this time, instead of the mother box just being taken, Cyborg's dad sees it, gets it, brings it back to his lab that's like right there.
At this point, Steppenwolf is on his way, and Cyborg picks up on this, and then he takes it to this device that's gonna throw a beam at it. And we've been told that this thing can, like, absorb all this heat and just, like, still maintain its structural integrity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The point, though, is that he shoots this laser at the thing, and we don't totally know what he's trying to do, but he shoots this laser at the mother box, but it ends up killing him because Steppenwolf shows up, and he's not going to escape. And so Cyborg, sadly, gets to watch his dad get vaporized by this
device. It was a very emotional scene. It was so sad because he literally, like, melted.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
And he was just kind of starting to kind of come to terms with what his dad did.
Yeah.
So it was even ultra sad on that level, too.
Yeah. And then we arrive to basically the final part before the epilogue.
And the way that they know where Steppenwolf's base is that the laser was meant to, like, heat up the mother box and so that it
make it the hottest thing.
Make it the hottest thing on the planet, and they could just pick it up.
Like a beacon.
Like a beacon. And so that's how they know where the base is. So
not just magically, no.
Exactly, which is another amazing thing about this whole movie is that it just, the through line as to how they know everything and how information is transmitted is just much, much, much better.
Yeah. Well, in the final part, before that blog, they arrive at that town.
They make a plan. The plan is Cyborg is going to interface with the device and he's going to, like, separate it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to need some power to do it, which means Flash has to go run fast.
And power him up.
And power him up.
Yeah.
So that's our plan. So that means that we have Batman, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman off to do whatever they need to do. And Superman is still reeling and processing the fact that he's alive now.
Yeah.
So then they go. They have a much better scene.
We get to see Batman have a Batman-type scene.
Yeah.
Like in the Batmobile, running off, and then the Justice League. They were going to go do what they were going to do, but then Batman was just... they realized he needed help.
They saved them.
Yeah. So then they show up. They save Batman. It's a very nice team work.
It was good. It was fun.
Yeah.
Good action.
Yeah. Then they go off to do their thing.
Yeah.
And so you have Cyborg getting with the boxes, Wonder Woman and Aquaman trying to get Steppenwolf away from it, and then you have Flash going around and around and around to get that power.
And it's so much more fun because it just feels so desperate. Like, we can just tell just how, like, overwhelming Steppenwolf is to just Wonder Woman. Because...
yeah. Like, they're struggling. Like, they're, Aquaman and Wonder Woman are struggling to keep him off of Cyborg. And literally, he, like, makes his way off of them and back to Cyborg. And he's about to take his hammer and...
his axe. Chop him in half.
Yeah. And then Superman shows up right then.
And catches it with his body.
Yeah.
And
he was, like, pathetic.
He's, like, not impressed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was, like, not impressed.
And then he freezes the axe immediately and shatters it and just proceeds to beat the crap out of Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Horribly. And I'm just like, yes. Yes. This is exactly, like, what Superman would do.
Yeah, it's exactly what they needed instead of Superman going off to save a family and not beating up Steppenwolf.
Random civilians that just so happened to live in this really dangerous part of the planet.
He could have sent Wonder Woman to get it or something.
Somebody. Anyway. At this point, though, there's been a bunch of turrets that Batman has been taking them out, but they're targeting the Flash because Flash is just, like, running around.
And you could see him.
And you could see him. At the very last moment, one of them kind of hits Flash, so Flash is still, like, can't run as fast anymore.
Yeah, he hits him, and he's, like, put down for a minute. He got hit, and you could see he's, like, saying, heal, heal. Honestly, I thought he meant, like, a joke, like, just please heal, but he actually needed it. He can.
Yeah, he can heal super quick.
Yeah. And then Cyborg was like, oh no, it's too late, and it unites into the Unity. And
it blows
then
up.
Yeah, and then a portal opens, and we see Darkseid.
And its entourage.
Yes. And we're like, ooh. And then as that moment happens, then...
it blows up, but Flash kind of gathers exactly what's happened, and he's like, you need to break the rules, Barry, you need to break the rules. It's great. And then at this point, he starts running again, and he goes back in time.
Mm-hmm.
He runs fast enough that, like, you see everything
that was blown up is
get undone.
Back. Yeah.
And he goes, and he touches Cyborg.
Well, like, before, you see, like, Superman, like, he was exploded, and then you see, like, his body come
everybody's
back.
Shattered.
Yeah.
Everybody's, like, completely shattered and disintegrated.
And then he goes back, and he helps.
He undoes it.
Yeah. And then he gives Cyborg the power, and then Superman helps him take it apart.
Which was great because, I don't know, I just love when they show Superman just kind of defying physics like that. And he totally does.
And then they beat up Steppenwolf, and then you have this very slow-mo scene.
Let's narrate this. Aquaman stabs him from behind, lifts him up, Superman punches him in the direction of the portal, and Wonder Woman, in a really gratuitous end to the fight, jumps up, decapitates him.
And it goes through the portal.
The head and the rest of the body flies through the portal at Darkseid's feet, who then steps on
Steppenwolf's
head.
Yeah, and then the portal closes.
As the Justice League altogether looks back at Darkseid, and then it closes. Then they have a really nice shot where like they're kind of all admiring the beautiful new day that just arose in the east. And this is where the movie should have ended. Right there. Kind of cut to credits. Just have a little epilogue. We have an epilogue where Cyborg's dad just kind of talks with some voiceover, over some scenes, with a recording, Cyborg. And that's where the movie should have ended. That's not where it ends.
It has like three different end credit scenes, basically. We have the scene with Lex Luthor and Deathstroke again. But in this scene, Lex Luthor tells Deathstroke, oh, he's Bruce Wayne. And he was like, ooh, okay, that's
good. Which is a weird decision to make.
And then the next one is the apocalyptic scene. And we see the Joker, Jared Leto.
Ugh,
and
I'm so tired.
David did not like that scene.
The problem is not the Joker. The problem is that we have no context for what in God's name
was the point
of this whole scene. It makes me think that DC does want to make a post-apocalyptic DC universe thing where Superman has conquered and destroyed everything. I guess? Other than that, I don't know why, though. It's really pointless. And then just to hammer it home, by the way, there's a scene earlier in the first part, the second part, where Lois Lane has a conversation with Ma Kent. And it's endearing, and it's really quiet, it's nice, and we get to hear about their struggles and how they feel, considering that they have to keep...
Dealing with the loss of Superman.
Dealing with Clark the loss Kent. Over and over again, because the fact that he's not just Superman, he's Clark Kent to them.
Yeah, and so many people, like, obviously, they're like, they didn't even know him.
And Ma Kent leaves... And when she's by herself, turns into Martian Manhunter.
I was like, John Jones from Supergirl?
Who's a shapeshifter. Oh, and by the way, John Jones, Martian Manhunter, just shows up at Batman's house for breakfast. Not even for breakfast, just shows up in the morning when he wakes up from this nightmare that he had, the post-apocalyptic scene.
Yeah. He shows up and he says that Darkseid is not done with Earth. He's going to be back for the anti-life equation.
Which I think we can already guess.
Well, I think, and this is just my guess, is that he's telling them because they probably don't know what the anti-life equation is. They definitely know that Darkseid is going to come back, but they don't necessarily know for what.
But then,
as far as we know.
But then that should be reserved for some other movie, for some other thing. This movie's done. We're done. The conflict is over. There actually already was an epilogue. We need to end this movie already. But no, we need this one little extended and gratuitous, arrogant scene that's post-apocalyptic that lasts about 10 minutes. And then we need to introduce John Jones because screw it, we can. Which, listen, I like the idea. I like Martian Manhunter. But does he really need to be in this movie?
No, not at all.
Not really, no.
No. But that was Snyder Cut. So, again, like we said before, we definitely think it was way better than the theatrical cut. They definitely took the time to explain. Obviously, a lot of the stuff was changed around, like Cyborg's dad dying, the Mother Boxes actually uniting.
And the final fight scene where, like, they all have a role to play.
Yeah. And Flash saving everyone and whatnot. And it's just...
Superman's resurrection having a specific purpose.
It's
really good. What really drags the Snyder Cut down is the last 15 or so minutes, that epilogue. 90% of this movie is pretty good. If that part weren't in the movie, I'd be tempted to give this a B+, possibly an A-. Even so, even with that, it's still pretty good. I kind of might watch it again. I did really like it.
Yeah. I'm just really sad that, like, they literally finished, except for, like, the epilogue, they did film some of that in 2020, but they literally finished that film, and he had to walk away, Zack Snyder, to deal with his family. It was literally finished, but because of the criticism of Batman vs. Superman, they were like, oh, we don't want to use this cut. I'm trying to think, like, what they could have cut to bring it down to 2 hours, you know? They could have split it in half if they wanted to.
They could have. They really did.
Because that literally at the 2-hour mark was kind of the end of that scene where they were at, where they almost lost.
Yes.
With Steppenwolf and the water.
That scene.
The Gotham Harbor thing, yeah. And it had, like, a scene with them and it could have ended right there. And we would have had Justice League 2.
Right.
But it was really good.
It was really good. And I'll say this. this is the kindest thing I could say about Justice League, or the Snyder Cut of Justice League. And it's just that the Avengers, the original Avengers movie, is absolutely better than even the Snyder Cut. That being said, I like this movie more than I like Avengers, the first Avengers at least. I like the Snyder Cut more than I like the Avengers, the first Avengers movie.
I don't know if I would say that for myself, because I
like it's not to say that it, again, it's not a better movie. It's not. Avengers is absolutely the better movie.
Yeah.
But I like this movie more, the Snyder Cut.
Okay, well.
It's partly to do with the fact that it's so long. You get to linger on everything. More time.
It's so long, but it's so worth it to watch Snyder Cut. I did hear, though, that Zack Snyder's wife or someone, one of his family members and one of his friends, watched the theatrical cut of Justice League, and they were like, you cannot watch this.
Yeah, that's funny.
And he has not watched the theatrical cut.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
It's much better. Yeah,
I feel like it would be like a hit towards him and be like, what? Well, I'm absolutely sure he's heard things, for sure.
It's a disaster. They completely butchered his work. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
There's, like, very select few scenes that are the same.
I get upset when people do that to me at work, let alone if I dedicate months and months to a project.
Yeah. Millions of dollars. Obviously not his money, but, like, time, ideas, like...
Blood, sweat, tears.
Yeah, and it's...
And they just chucked it.
And I think it's really great that the Zack Snyder version is so good and has such positive feedback so far.
Now, a lot of people have used this as a reason for like, well, see, we need to restore the Snyderverse. Mm-hmm. Because the Warner Brothers announced that they are no longer making any more DC movies that will be based in the Zack Snyder version of all these characters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Batman, the movie that is going to star Robert Pattinson...
Edward Cullen?
As Batman is apparently not going to be in the Snyderverse. Yeah. Certainly, the Joker movie that came out in 2019 with Joaquin Phoenix is not part of the Snyderverse.
No, because Joker is... Right. He's way too old in there.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
It's completely different on every single level. That's not part of the Snyderverse. And so the question remains, should they restore the Snyderverse? I'll be honest... I mean, I
would like to see another Justice League, just because they started it, and then as soon as that movie's finished, I was like, are they doing a second one? And at the time, and I don't know if they will, but at the time, they're like, nope, they're not making another Justice League because it was such bad reviews.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would like to at least see one more Justice League.
I'll say this. If we're talking about do we want another Justice League movie with this version of the characters, I might be okay with that. Maybe. This movie still rides a fine line. It's this close to being bad. Mm-hmm. Very close. I'm holding my fingers close together. and the fact that it gets that close to being bad and it's not is kind of lucky. Now, as far as restoring the Snyderverse, though, a lot of these actors, I just think that it might be better to move on. If they do decide to restore the Snyderverse, I'm going to cheer it on.
But I love Henry Cavill.
I know.
I don't want to.
I know
miss
you
him.
Do. I'm sorry. He has other work. He's in The Witcher.
I know, but like he's so. He really looks like Superman.
He definitely looks like Superman. We can find someone else that looks like Superman.
No, he looks like Superman.
We can find someone.
Do
else
you who know looks someone like... more beautiful than him? Do you know of anyone that is more beautiful than Henry Cavill to play Superman?
To play Superman, I don't know, but I think Sebastian Stan is pretty handsome, right? Isn't he?
Oh, yes.
You like him, right?
I love him.
There you go.
So...
To play Superman, though, I don't know offhand.
Yeah.
But we could find somebody.
I'm sure there's somebody.
We could recast all these characters. And if we did have Arpat play the Batman in some kind of theoretical, hypothetical Justice League, fine.
Yeah.
It could work.
Maybe. I guess we just have to see how he plays out as Batman.
Do you say Batman?
Well, yes, we'll see. I guess we'll see how he plays out as Batman.
Yeah. I saw the teaser. It looks fun. Mm-hmm. That convinced me that he could play a pretty good Batman, at least. We'll see how he plays in the other parts of the role, but that was pretty solid.
So, guys, that was Justice League, the theatrical cut, and the Snyder Cut version.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah. I definitely think it's worth the 4 hours to watch. If you don't want to sit down and watch it for 4 hours, totally fine.
Absolutely. You can watch it in each individual part.
Yeah.
They're all less than an hour, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them are longer than others, but you could probably stop at almost the halfway mark, more
absolutely.
Or less.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so you can catch it. Oh, both of them. You can catch both of them on HBO Max.
Yes.
And next week, we will be talking about Fate, the Winx Saga.
A show on Netflix.
Yes.
It's 6 episodes, so if you haven't watched it, you can pretty much catch up real quick.
Yeah, you have some time.
Absolutely.
So, with that, this was episode 7. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Script Doctor Podcast.
Send us your questions.
Yes.
Please like,
comment, subscribe, DM us.
Absolutely.
Yes. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.